Hello, Suiters, and thank you for joining us here at AfterBuzz TV's coverage of Suits Season 6, Episode 12. We're going to be talking about all of it. It's going to be here. It's going to be next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Steve does it now, too.
Yeah, Steve, yeah. You're getting good at it.
You guys kind of, like, sway like this, but I kind of, like, do the SpongeBob dance.
Yeah, I do, like, a little shoulder stretch.
Oh, you do
it,
but I still
I do both.
Like this too.
Anyway, hello, first years, and welcome to the law firm of Kaufman, Ike, Hobson, and Brazier.
We've had a lot of names in there.
You made it. You're our first years. We're the senior partners. I'm your host, Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter, at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F. M-A-N-N, but I'm not alone. I'm with two fellow senior partners, starting to my left, the lovely Nicole Brazier.
Yes, that's me. Hey, guys, you can follow me at Nicole Brazier all over social media. Good to be back for Suits.
And then to her left.
Senior partner still using the third grade trick for left and right. Hello, everyone. I'm Tiana Hobson. You can find me at the Tiana Hobson. Don't worry, Steve. I still do that, too.
All day. With
it's like,
that.
Turn left. Hang on, wait. L Hold for up. The Lord. Okay, got it.
Which L? Is it L to me? All right.
Yes. We're in the chat, too, guys, and everybody is very excited to
Are
have
they excited
back,
for this
Steve.
Episode?
No, oh. They're excited to have you back.
Well, I mean.
I think everyone really missed
you. He's back. Steve's back. Great. We're just.
We weren't here last week or anything.
We weren't holding down the fort.
They're cool. Also back.
We're here, too, guys.
Be excited in unison. We finally got the Harvey Mom stuff.
Love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Like, we got the flashback, we got pretty much everything we were wondering. Like, there was some, because I think we had always, there had always been the illusion of a blow-up. There was some type of blow-up mm-hmm. between them that now we actually know.
It happened at his dad's funeral.
That's right. Where... I mean, we knew about the past, and we knew about the, mm-hmm. the cheating and his mom. We've seen those flashbacks before, but to see him at that vulnerable state at his father's funeral and... learning that he almost didn't go, and Donna was even on board with that, trying to convince him to do that. I mean, Donna, man, for the win, as usual.
For the win. So my question, I guess, is we've resolved this ongoing issue that has been part of Harvey's character since season one. Mm. We might not have visually seen parts of it, but it's been a part of his whole demeanor and the way he treats people mm-hmm. since season one. So now... that it's all wrapped up and there's a bow tied on it, mm-hmm. how does Harvey's character change moving forward, do you guys think? That's a really good question, Tiana.
That
I
is
know,
a
Tiana,
really...
That's so smart of you to think.
Well...
Tiana's grown to a point where she does not need co-hosts.
I mean...
She can host this whole show on her
She has become a self-aware after-show host.
Great question, Tiana.
Thank you, guys.
I think he's going to be a little bit more emotional. You know, I've never seen him cry so much in this episode alone out of all the seasons of Suits. I've never seen him shed more tears than tonight. So maybe he'll have more of a soft side going into this new firm where they're keeping the same name and be a little less harsh, a little more understanding.
No, I see him dealing with
Lewis
feelings. Well, he strikes me as somebody who deals with feelings by not having them.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. he's going to, like, start feeling his feelings now. And okay. he's not going to be prepared for
he's
that.
He's not going to know how to feel, what it's like to care about people.
What it's like to care about other people and, like, beyond, like, and I'm not saying, like, he's just this stone cold. Like, obviously the whole thing with Mike and, like, I'm saying that, like, the day-to-day, he's not the feelings type. And now he will be, and he's not going to...
He'll have the feels now.
The show will just be Harvey dealing with the feels.
With the feels.
Well, I hope he puts the feels on Donna, because I am on the edge of my seat at these, like, moments where they're not talking, and there's a close-up of them hand-holding and looking at a painting and just staring, and I'm like, why don't you guys stare at each other and make out already for us?
Well, I also love that his mom, you know, he said, someone very special to me...
She
told
said,
me it's time to deal with this. And she's like, I'm so glad that whoever she
did,
is. And I
yeah.
was waiting. I was like, Mama knows. Mama's always knows.
Yes.
And Mama probably talks to Donna.
Probably. Donna and Harvey's mom are probably best friends.
Yeah.
They've probably been talking forever.
For years.
But that's how she was able to deal with it. Let's We talked a bit about the funeral. And let's talk about the present. He shows up to bury the hatchet.
Yes.
And she expects an apology from him.
I don't think she expected an apology from him. I think when she said to him, "Oh, I'm so glad that you apologize," that was just something that was like a natural thing to say as well. And then he was like, "No, I'm sorry." She didn't say apologize. She said,
"I'm so happy."
She said, "I forgive you too.
I forgive you too." Right, right, right. And I think that was just like a natural thing to say. I don't think she expected him to apologize, though.
No, I think she absolutely expected him to apologize. That's her emotional baggage that she's allowed to have, as that is his. The inverse is his.
What a politically correct way to say that, Steve. Like, because I'm over here fuming. I'm like, no, Lily, no. You do not expect an apology from your son. He was the child. You were the adult. You did something bad. You are the reason he is the way he is right now to this day. So yes, his actions as an adult haven't been great, but they started when he was younger because of you, and it was never nipped in the bud then. So of course he's acting out and lashing out, and he's here to finally forgive you for something. Don't put it back on him automatically, causing another fight. Sorry, I have a lot of feelings.
They said 7 years earlier, and Wikipedia would help me if I had it, but I'm pretty sure he would have been like 36 in the flashback. Which means he would have spent just as much time as an adult as he would have as a child.
I think she just had a point saying that you've been an adult for a long time and this could have subsided. He has missed a part of his brother's kids' lives and burying the hatchet and moving forward, you know, even after his father's passing, coming to amends with just accepting what's there. I mean, it's a modern world. It's a modern life. You should be the adult and the bigger person, especially if mom was the way she was growing up. You got to learn to deal with mom being mom, because at the end of the day, that is your mom, and that's the only one you're going to have, and you have to show her respect.
Although, what I like about the Harvey as he's always been presented, and and as he was presented in this episode, is most people make a half measure in his situation, where most people would have and take issue with it and run away for a couple years and like kind of come back and like hold baggage to it and still be like, well, that's my mom, but she owes me an apology. Hey, whereas he went, that's no longer my mother.
I have the feels for that. I mean, like, I have certain issues with my mom, like, personally, and I live here in LA and she's across the country on the East Coast. And do I feel like sometimes I run away from the issues that I have with her to be able to live my everyday life, focus on work, put that baggage aside? Absolutely, that's a humane action. It's just the way that you handle things. But there has to be a point when you break down walls and deal with your emotions and let the tears flow and be a human being and forgive and forget.
But I think that is the problem. This is Harvey we're talking about, and these are deep-seated, rooted issues from his childhood that were never dealt with. Right. So you take that stuff that hasn't been dealt with, you move it into adulthood, it's still not being dealt with. So yes, he's had the same amount of time as an adult as he did as a child to process this, but because it was never dealt with in the beginning, it's still just this black cloud that he doesn't know how to handle this situation. And as his mother, she's supposed to see that and see where he's hurting and not come at him and attack him. I think he felt attacked a little bit in that. I'm not saying she did attack him, but he can feel attacked in that. And so it's your job as the mom to see your child is hurting and to realize it and to be like, okay, you know what? I'm going to let him have this one.
I don't disagree with you, too.
I'm going to accept, I forgive you, too. Like, that's just poking the bear when he's already there. Yes. Like, here is the peace offering. And then you just went, poke bear. Yeah. Poke ya.
And my mom does that, too. So, I mean, I totally see both.
To be fair, the empathetic person in the gray suit can understand her plight of that must have been devastating. Those comments must have been devastating for her,
it's
too.
Hard, especially as a woman and a mom and you're emotional and all that. Menopause, I mean, she looks old. I don't know if it's donezo or whatever. But I can tell.
But then,
I can tell that it hurts.
And it's not like she cheated and had a fling.
Right. It's like she's still been with the same guy.
Like, she pretty much found another lover. And, like, these things happen. You try explaining that to an 8-year-old, But these things happen.
Mm-hmm. Jet Joyce Mpoa in the chat says, I was a little confused. Did Harvey's mom say that she was married to his father for 30 years at the funeral? So she was cheating on him for half their marriage with his best friend? I was about to reply, pretty much. Because remember, they were like, yeah, you got to keep it a secret when he was young. So obviously, yeah.
It was a consistent affair.
Yes, so you heard it first here.
I mean, that's the other dagger in Harvey's side, is that this is someone that his dad knew and trusted. It's not like it was some Joe Schmo stranger. It was someone who was a part of their lives. And then to ask him to keep that secret, like, I can just totally see how mentally it screwed up it would make you.
Yes.
And, I mean, the fact that Harvey actually is as successful as he is a big surprise here, because he definitely could have gone down a completely
downward spiral. But it totally explains his temper and every which way that he handles everything. Like, it's just, it's like opening up a sociology textbook.
Yeah. And I do feel bad for his brother and his brother's kids, because they unfortunately were, you know, punished. Although Harvey didn't mean to punish them. It's just...
This is just the way that... This is like a real life example of just like a dysfunctional family. It's just the bottom line. And there's always like a way to get back into it, because it's family at the end of the day. And I feel like it's kind of like a mirror image of like what can be of the firm.
Mm-hmm. I just really enjoyed this whole part, because we finally got some depth. Mm-hmm. Some emotional depth to Harvey, because that's usually what we were missing.
Yeah.
Aside from, like, a very stone trap of emotions of, like, I feel things. I swear.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, no, there's... Since I was 8, like, my understanding of intimacy and relationships and everything is tied...
Has been screwed up.
Has been tied into the fact that everybody cheats and that I have to lie about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's a good point.
He needs to get back with that therapist.
Well,
and
he needs a new therapist. Not that same one. He does need therapy, though.
He needs to get back in therapy. Yeah. That therapist was fine.
But then she testified, like, in the case.
Yeah, it was a whole thing.
It was the whole thing. He's never going to trust her again.
Well, everybody at this table is trying to ship them.
Yes.
That was trying to happen.
Yeah, we're trying to make that happen, but...
So the catalyst for him going back was that at the end of last week, he pretty much screamed at Lewis and said that you'd never be managing partner.
Which I found hard to believe, because his name's on the wall, so...
Managing partner, though. He's name partner. He made it name partner, and like...
There's not many people left to choose from anyway.
I know, literally, there's no one...
Guys, I'm sorry, and I'm not a lawyer, so I don't really know how things work, but... I think I'd rather have my name on the door than have to actually run that hellhole. Like, this place is hit with so many different dramatic things of takeovers, losing employees, like, fraud and embezzlements that just put my name on the door. Let me do my work. I don't need the drama of running this place.
Can I just have, like, 12 clients that bill close to $1 billion, and I'm out?
I'm out. Like, I don't need the extra stress of trying to run this place.
I'm
like,
in my car by 5:40. Yeah.
Look at Jessica. She didn't get to have a personal life. She had to leave the firm to go get some, you know?
Like, and, they did mention that she might come back, which if you want to revert to last week,
she's not coming back this season.
She's sold on it. I don't know.
I'm sold on it. She cannot come back this season.
Well, she booked a pilot, not a series.
Oh,
that's how they're doing it.
But she's appearing on or recurring on The Catch.
Is she okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then never mind. Never mind. She booked a series. She's gone forever.
We'll see. But to get back to what we were discussing about him being managing partner, I mean, I like that he... I actually thought this would probably happen, too, that the one day Harvey and Lewis, the two of them, would come together and maybe unite and get along for once, and we could see a little magic from both of them. Like, I've actually hoped for this, so... I
see how it goes.
You guys are like, I think it's going to be bad. I think it could be good. And who knows? Maybe they'll be, like... Oh, sorry. I'm jumping into predictions.
I just get carried on
in my thoughts.
Yeah, Harvey and Lewis both have issues that they clearly both need to work out in order to make their working relationship and make this co-managing partner thing work.
One of the main issues is, if we're talking who becomes managing partner on pure merit, it's Harvey.
Yes, I agree.
Can he handle it? I feel like he's just in a very emotional state right now.
Pure merit. Resume to resume.
Yeah.
Client list to client list. Billable hours to billable hours.
I mean, I also think that Harvey is just... He's going to get it done. He was also groomed by Jessica.
Yes.
He is the guy who's going to make things happen. Lewis, sometimes when he has to make things happen, he goes about it the very, very wrong way. And I'm not saying that Harvey does not make mistakes and that he's perfect or anything, because we know he's done a lot of bad things along the way too. But Harvey just has a way of keeping situations under control where Lewis kind of loses grasp of everything and has to call in reinforcements.
I feel like that together will be so fun to watch. It keeps us watching. It's exciting.
But I think
they still need to have that like dynamic where they don't. Oh, it's not great. Like,
but I think that's the under. If they needed to have one managing partner tomorrow, it would be Harvey. Lewis would feel slighted. He wouldn't do his job correctly. And then it wouldn't be a working relationship for a firm that really needs a working relationship top, a working management top down. So I think by keeping Pearson's name on the wall, they can claim, well, we're interim while Jessica's gone.
Yeah. Right.
So that they never actually
have to make the decision.
Have to deal with it, which you think Harvey would learn after this whole flashback. I'm going to kick that can.
Lindsay Ivory Neptune on our chat says, as soon as Rachel graduates, she needs to be managing partner. She's seriously the best employee they have ever had.
That would be unprecedented.
I mean, vote for Donna, but yes,
yeah. Rachel
could work.
She would. I never worked in a law firm, and I wonder if you were a paralegal for as long as Rachel was. I think you technically come on as a first year, but they probably pay her more. Like, they gave her an offer that was the equivalent to a second or a third year. Mm-hmm. Although.
They also don't have, like, hardly any employees. Yeah, they don't have.
They just use each other at this point.
In the next couple of weeks, they're going to be staffing actual associates.
Yeah.
So it'll be a whole thing that.
Yes, that's what I'm excited for. I want to see some new faces.
Yeah. Jump into the Mike Ross event?
I was like, we got some new faces down at the legal clinic.
Yes, like Marissa.
By the way, if Suits as it exists were to go away and we were to have two spinoffs, I'd want a three-camera sitcom with just Harvey and Donna called Harvey Catches the Feels. Yeah. It's just a three-camera sitcom with them. Them in an apartment trying to make the whole love thing work.
Yeah. Aaron Kate on the chat says Rachel to have a spinoff with Mike.
I would want to do a Rachel-Mike spinoff where Rachel is a corporate lawyer under her dad's firm.
Yeah.
And Mike runs this legal clinic.
And Mike is home making pancakes and bottling the kids to bed. No, I'm just kidding.
Kids. Whoa.
You're jumping.
Whoa, he like just got out of prison.
We gotta get them married first. One step at a time.
He's a convicted felon. Can we back this train up?
Well, he did take on teaching kids for a second. We all know how that went down.
Like, I don't think he can vote in New York.
Yeah.
I think that's wasn't an old or nothing.
Yeah.
He applied everywhere, including that legal clinic we saw him apply to last week, that he had a running rapport with the guy at the front desk, which means he would totally not get that job, right? No, he absolutely got that job.
Yeah.
I love Oliver.
The black guy named Oliver.
Oh my god. I literally just wrote Oliver is the man.
Yeah, I wrote
simply
that
put.
I put Oliver, Mike's new bestie.
Yeah, clearly. So cute. Love him.
And what is the name of the gentleman who's actually running that legal clinic?
Nathan.
What does Nathan do? Is Nathan just a regular lawyer who works out of that legal clinic trying to get some
money? He's had another office, right?
He owns and operates the legal clinic that he needed someone to actually operate it.
Right. So I'm assuming that means he actually has his own sort of practice going on.
Yeah, yes. Remember he was like, you go get,
he
get,
either has
get
his
back
own,
to what you do.
He either has his own practice or he works at a big one. My guess would be he does low-level corporate law, where he deals with enough clients that it's like, hey, by the way, come tax time, if you want to throw $100,000 to this legal fund, to this legal clinic, we can
make that happen.
If three of you do that every year, we can keep a whole legal clinic up. And I need to pay someone $35,000 to run it.
Do you think that Mike's going to go, like, downward in finances now that they've mentioned that they're going to have to sell the house and that he's not making anything, and he's already dished out $3,600 out of his own pocket when he just mentioned he has to sell his house? I don't foresee this going very well.
I hope they don't go there, to be honest.
I mean, I don't see anything wrong with them having to downsize. I was actually wondering how Rachel was affording to live there when Mike was in jail. So clearly money's been tight.
Well,
if,
and well, then you have Pearson's, but well, she was
in law school and
well, and a paralegal.
And a paralegal.
She's still a high paid, well valued paralegal at a six-person law firm.
No. Yeah, I was just mostly saying because it seems like, you know, it was the two of them together being rent, and then you go down to just, like, a single income to handle everything. I mean, granted, her father is who her father is. She probably also has money and a trust fund and
she could have gotten that help,
stuff, but...
yeah, I mean, Pearson Spector may have never actually fired Mike, at which point he would still be drawing a paycheck that she... I guess he would have had to give in her... Give well, like I said, this isn't a very good show. I don't want to see this show where they just sit down and go over their taxes.
But no,
I don't think that's going to happen.
I do think that they need to paint the picture of, like, Mike is not living the life he used to, and part of that is the apartment that they live in. They don't have to go get, like, a hole in the wall or anything, but they definitely would have to glam down
nice
on
apartment.
A lot of their expenses.
Or explain.
For New York, that is, like, a penthouse.
Yeah.
Or explain that just, he like, got... $100,000 signing bonus before he went to prison.
Yeah,
that he put in a mutual fund. And
well, yeah, everyone in the chat is saying that Harvey's got Mike if anything goes wrong.
That too.
Well,
that
I mean, they should just move in with Harvey.
That's literally one line of dialogue.
Daddy.
It's literally one line of dialogue. Like, man, I'm really sorry about your aunt. Your aunt Zane, but we have all this money now, so we can stay at the exact set that they already built for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Work.
I'm available. Yeah. I do screenwriting.
I know that they got the perks and stuff, all right? But let's just pretend they don't want to rely on anyone's shoulders.
Yeah.
You know, it's just at the end of the day, Mike's going to have to rely on Rachel, I think was my whole point when I went back to the kids thing and making pancakes.
I agree. I agree. I like Mike running a legal clinic. I think fiscally, I think everyone likes Mike running a legal clinic. By the way, general manager would be the easy title.
Yeah.
Yeah, the GM.
The person overseeing all of you other people.
Human, yeah. Human really. Overseeing all the other humans.
Yeah. What do you guys think of Marissa? Someone in the chat said that her tendencies kind of remind them of Katrina in early episodes.
See, I thought she reminded me of Mike because, I mean, she went and made that promise and Mike got mad. I was like, yo, Mike. Pump your brakes,
Mike,
because you make promises like that all
that's
the
like season,
time.
That promise is like season one, Mike.
Yes. It's like, I'm going to promise you the world.
Yeah, I thought Mike was trying to be a little bit like Harvey. Like, I saw your client already 30 minutes before you. Like, I just, you know, like...
He did come
like,
in
like a
wrecking
boss.
Ball.
But like a boss, like though.
Like a boss, but also, glam down. You're at the free legal clinic.
No, but I think it is...
Just glam down a little
bit. That's how it worked for him. Is that they were like Harvey and Mike were chums professionally, but they were like Harvey was never easy on him or nice to him about things. So that's the only way he knows how to teach other associates. So I think it'll be fun if somebody corners him and it's like, hey, you're kind of a dick to me. I don't learn well that way.
I feel like he was overcompensating because he thought that they all knew that he was a fraud and had been in jail. And then he found out that they didn't know, so he came in, like,
and he kind of made
tougher
a
and, like,
himself.
I'm going to get involved in all these cases and tell you guys how to do so you guys know that I know what I'm talking about, even though I'm not really a lawyer. And then it was like, oh, haha, joke's
well,
on you,
yeah,
because
and he let that one,
we didn't even know.
Right, he let Marissa's, like, words affect him to think everything was true, and that's why when Nathan was like, you didn't have to do that. But I get why he said, yeah, it takes the edge off.
He's trying to be an appropriate leader.
Yeah, he's trying to release it, get it out there. If you have a problem, see me in my office.
Mm-hmm. But he's trying to be an appropriate leader, and part of that is just true trust of who I am. And who I am and what my story is.
Right.
I'm not going to nitpick. I was going to say I find it hard to believe that no one there knew. But I think they left it. Definitely. They did it in a way where I think half the room... I mean, not to reveal too much, but if I was working at a place and somebody came in out of the blue, especially somebody well-qualified but underpaid, I'm Googling that person immediately. Mike Ross. Oh, he's in...
Well, I like how Oliver made that point. They're like, oh, we don't read this. We read the posts. And I'm like, nah, you read everything. Come on.
Wouldn't that be on his Facebook?
But
wouldn't
like,
that be on Mike Ross's Facebook?
To play off the other side.
Dates, time.
To play off the other side, though, if you're working at a free legal clinic, you saw that Marissa and Oliver were there, like, super late at night, just working on... They have stacks and stacks of cases. They don't have time to read the journal to make sure that, like, they're caught up on all the happenings of, you know, what's going on in the law profession and stuff.
That's true.
They're so busy with, like, the 50 cases they're trying to win for these clients who have that thing. But I think the original question was our feelings on Marissa. And
Oh, yes.
I'm still not sure how I feel about her, because I felt like, okay, you're a law student. Yes, you've been working here a long time. Yes, you haven't lost a case. But here's someone who's coming in as technically your supervisor, who's offering you some advice. Maybe instead of fighting it the whole time, be a little more open to listen. But then on the other side, I get her like being like, you're new here, and I've been working on this case for weeks or months, and you're just telling me what to do now. So I see both sides, and I just wasn't sure how I'm going to feel about her. I need a little bit more time with Marissa to really see if I'm going to like her character or not.
I need to see how she deals with Mike's honesty. That if she completely still writes him off and like, oh, you're not a real lawyer, where it's like, no, that thing I handed you was also all the cases I won.
Yeah.
Right. Presumably, like, if I wanted people to follow me in complete transparency, it would be an affidavit of, nope, I was a fake lawyer. However, as a fake lawyer, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. I was in finance.
Yeah.
Right. I think that there's going to be, like, a cool dynamic being Pearson Spector Litt and the clinic. And I foresee, like, the two meeting up at some point in the courtroom.
Well, the preview spoiled all that for us.
Yes, it did.
An article that says that, you know, they will, their paths will keep crossing.
Well, it looks like it all comes to a head next week through the previews. Before we do that, we should talk about the Rent case.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was an interesting...
It's something new for us.
It was it was interesting to see them...
Easy to follow.
It was interesting
very
to see...
Very easy to follow along that
didn't
case.
Didn't Rent, didn't have Pete. I'm like, oh, like, well, I got it.
Yeah, very
simple. No 401k.
Oh my God, I hated that lawyer in the courtroom, though. Oh, she was such a B-I-T-C-H.
But
worse than Anita...
Also...
You know what?
Gibbs.
Also, I think the suit legal tip of the of this episode is text and email your landlord.
Yes.
So you have written proof of work requests.
Yes. I mean, pretty... Come on, man.
Snapchats do not count.
But they disappear.
But why didn't she have that? Seriously.
Well, because
she can't afford it.
She's a single mom.
She has a phone that has an email.
But I think it's also one of those things of like, I'm going to get a faster response if I call my landlord and say something. So in her mind, she's not even thinking this is going to get taken to court eventually, and I need to have documentation of it. She's just like, I'm trying to save my 3-year-old son's life right now. Just fix my window. Give me some
Please, instead of... She's probably not as... Like, most people who wind up at a legal clinic weren't legal-minded to begin with. And that's not that's not a knock on a person.
No, it's not.
I feel like a terrible person every time I hit a wall where I'm like, hey, I have to like, not talk to you until we sign a contract. Like, I feel terrible when I know where that wall is, and I'm like, sorry.
Yeah.
We can't discuss this.
But you have to protect yourself.
And we can't discuss this unless we lay out the terms.
The terms. And I think that, I mean, I love that Suits brought this up, and I hope that they bring up more things now that we're at a legal clinic. You know, we can bring up so many other things that people don't know about rights and what
Absolutely.
You need and the proof and everything. And these shows, like, yes, it's entertainment, but also there's messages in here, you
Definitely.
Know, that people can actually learn from. I mean, I make sure I have everything. If I email my boss saying, like, hey, we should do this, and then they say no, and then 5 days later, it's like, hey, we should listen to Tim. I'm like, I have it documented. I could have saved you guys $3,000.
I keep all my receipts.
Here's the emails. Like, here's everything where I said this is what we should do.
Yes.
But that's because I watch a lot of Law and Order, and I'm paranoid.
I love that. But you just gotta write shit down. Seriously. Yep. I mean, I keep an agenda since elementary school. Old school. I can't get those alerts about meetings and what I need to do from this computer or my phone. Because, I need to write it down. So, she could have hand wrote a letter with a pencil and paper and mailed it in. I mean, come on.
That's blaming her in the past.
Yes, no, I'm all for, like, the clinic and the clinic winning cases and seeing, like, that side of the justice system for sure. But it just sucks when it comes down to the reality of it, which we saw in tonight's episode, that it's a struggle, and it's kind of depressing.
A legal clinic lawyer is a legal clinic lawyer. Like, we love that guy to death, but... He literally got so flustered that it was like, can I get a continuance to talk to Mike?
Yeah.
the fake lawyer that runs the clinic.
Fawad Dodd in the chat says Mike ended up winning that case, so technically he didn't lose in housing court. Were they talking about a different case in the chat right now?
Well, he didn't defend that case. He didn't try that case. He wasn't Mike a lawyer a for the case today.
A rental case.
Yeah, and he also paid the ladies. Similar case, season one, a rental case, landlord case.
So it's familiar for him.
Yep. Also, where do we think this money came from?
His bank account.
But, like, do you think Rachel knows? Do you think they got money?
Rachel has no idea.
Like, I don't want
to... And Rachel joked about getting audited.
I think that they have money in their bank account.
It's just now, you know, they have to be smart about what they're spending that money on because Mike's income is not going to be up here anymore. Mm-hmm. It's coming in down here. So I think that this might be something that gets brought up in the future, especially because Mike, this being the first case at the legal clinic, he's setting a precedent of like, are you going to do this for every client here that you can't help? Yeah. I know your heart is in the right place and you want to help these people and make sure that they get what they deserve, but you can't do this for every client and you're starting off with the first one doing it. And that's just setting a precedent that like, what's to stop him from doing it for the next one and the next one and the next
Unless
one.
Unless he's just going to start like taking the MCATs for people again.
I mean, like, but he doesn't want to go back to jail.
I know.
No, so he mentioned that.
He's not going back to jail.
He's not going back.
And I did like that part of the reason that Nathan hired him was because he was honest on his application. He's like, this right here makes me know that you might be someone who's worth giving another shot to. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely is. He just sometimes, like, does dumb things in good intentions, and that's where, it gets him in trouble, so... I'm worried about the $3,600. I'm worried about the joke about being audited. I'm worried about the mention of the house being sold.
I'm worried about Mike and Rachel. They're just in an apartment, aren't they?
They just have to move out to a different rent.
Right.
But you're worried about the engaged couple that we've been worried about this whole time.
I'm just so worried.
Before we send in the dogs, do we want to do predictions?
Sure.
Let's do predictions.
Okay, let's talk a little bit predictions.
So, I think I know, based on the preview we saw, what's about to go down next week. Okay. I think Anita Gibbs found out that Mike works at a legal clinic and is trying to reverse every decision he was involved with within Pierce Inspector Lint. I think Harvey has some type of crazy plan that will make Mike a legit lawyer, which... doesn't make a lot of sense, because you literally can't be a convicted felon. You literally can't be a convicted felon and pass the bar. Like, law degree or not, so I'm really curious what this crazy plan is. And they let the cat out of the bag that Rachel Zane failed the bar, likely due to the Ethics Commission, which seems like a bit of a boys' club.
Did they fail it, or she said she's not getting into the bar?
She's not being allowed in.
I'm not being allowed into the bar, yeah. Which... yeah. It would be interesting if it wasn't the thing she kept worrying about, which was the Ethics Commission.
Interesting. I was going to say that I'm worried about Anita Gibbs, but I'm worried about her and what she's going to do to this poor legal clinic that doesn't have the funding. I feel like she's going to attack them rather than attack Harvey, because Harvey doesn't really have anything to do with it anymore, and she wants to hurt Mike, so I think the best way is to go through... this legal clinic, because she warned him not to get a job helping people, which is kind of weird to tell someone who's like really smart and can offer great legal advice to these innocent people over here in low income settings. Like, hey, shocker there. But I'm concerned about her for that. And I'm concerned about Rachel for not getting into the bar, because I don't really know what that means. Like, in what way isn't the bar the test that you take?
I think there's a couple different levels to it. One of which is you literally have to like do an in-person interview. You have to meet with an ethics board. You have to meet with a different kind of board. Yeah. And there's a literal test.
Okay.
So I think they would find a way to disqualify her from the process.
Which is insane, considered her father has his own firm, and it's just retarded. I think she'll get out of this one alive and go on her merry way to be the best lawyer that she's going to be, because I do think that we're going to need Rachel to keep Pierce Inspector Lit alive. And while doing so, we're going to continue to see episodes with Michael with this legal clinic. I think we're forming a triangle with Oliver, Marissa, and Mike, like as a power trio. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I liked that dynamic. I liked them in the office, like late night hours. And I just, I don't know. I want to see more of this. And I think this is just like a nice segue into like the next step with the firm, with Pearson mm-hmm. Spector yeah. Lit, with Rachel. We knew this was going to happen with Rachel. We knew she wasn't going to get.
But I still think she should have just taken the job with her dad. I understand her loyalty to Pearson Spector Lit.
I kind of agree with that.
But in some situations, you have to be selfish about your own career and do what's best for you in that moment. And the best move was her going over to
her
dad's
character.
She didn't have to stay there.
Yeah. She doesn't have to marry Mike until she becomes a lawyer.
Yeah.
Like, she can... If her goal is to pass, she's trying to have it both ways. She's trying to pass the bar, which is their game, but then she's not playing their game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think she's learning a harsh reality about life, that it's like, if you want to pass the bar, understand that you're giving up judgment and merits to another group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you admit it or not, you've submitted to playing their game. That you have to...
Yeah.
You either say, I don't want to play this game, or I'm going to play this game.
Exactly. And,
but she keeps thinking, like, well, no, I'm going to wow them so mm-hmm. much. Where it's like, no, you're engaged to a convicted felon who disgraced the literal thing they're trying to protect. Like, you're going to be a casualty of this unless you do damage control to look better to them.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, this is not a prediction. I just forgot to say this earlier, and I just have to say it. Mike, being a convicted felon and out of jail for all of 2 minutes, he's found a lot of jobs in the 2 days he's been out of jail.
More than all of us who
More
have been
More than people
in college.
Who have actually, like, graduated from schools and, like, went on and got higher education degrees and whatnot. And I just needed to point this out because it kind of bugged me in a little way. Like, as a black woman who knows, who has family, who has struggled to find jobs coming out of jail for doing stuff, as, like, minuscule, like, not even harming anyone in the way that Mike did a crime,
mm-hmm.
for him to be able to find two jobs that easy, I was just like, this is frustrating to me a little bit, but I just
white privilege.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so I just needed to say that and say it because if I didn't, I'd shoot myself in the foot.
I don't disagree with your point at all. I mean, shit, but like, I make no money. And,
yeah.
and I work my butt off.
final prediction. Do you think Mike will work at the legal clinic by the end of next week?
Stay at the clinic. Yes.
Do we think Mike will wind up at Pearson Spector Lit by the end of this winter part of the season?
Not at all. I don't think Mike is ever going back there, to be honest.
I hope he doesn't.
I
feel like he might hope he doesn't.
My big prediction is that he sticks with this legal clinic and then Pearson Spector Lit buys the legal clinic.
That would be cute.
They buy the legal clinic and they just kind of put them all on one floor.
They do all their pro bono work through there.
Yeah,
I like that.
That they do, that becomes the charity arm of Pearson Spector Lit.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That would be nice. But that would also be the only way they could get Mike in the building, kind of a thing.
Yeah, but then you move a clinic all the way uptown like that, the people...
But then all those people who are so worried about fighting for the little guy become associates at Pearson Spector Lit. It's a win-win.
Yeah.
I'm career-minded for those people
in that room.
Yeah, but I'm worried about the people who they're not
going
to want
to... And some of the people at the clinic going to Pearson Spector Lit because they've been working their butts off there for so long to get higher pay and become better lawyers.
Well, and then they all left.
Right.
They're all gone.
But no, I'm saying, did you get what I was saying?
No, I get what you're saying. Okay. That there are top candidates from all across the country that are going to wind up associates at Pearson Spector Lit, and they're going to be working alongside.
Yes. Well, I just want I want the firm to get back on its feet, okay? I really do.
I do too, but I think that's the unorthodox, way. They're going to have a pool of just associates.
Yes.
And then they're going to have a separate pool that's the legal clinic associates. That probably aren't from Yale or Harvard.
Yeah.
Okay.
That are just people who genuinely care about the little guy. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think having that spirit in your building might be a helpful thing.
Yeah.
Stop making it all about Harvard. Because the Mike we're seeing right now has zero interest in ever going back to corporate law. Which, bro, corporate law is where that money is, though.
But he's not a lawyer.
That doesn't matter.
Someone's really upset about your white privilege comment.
I'm sorry.
She's sorry, guys.
It's true. And I didn't actually say white privilege. Steve did.
Oh, yes.
I just explained what it was.
I only said your in general. I didn't specify you. But listen, guys, this is AfterBuzz TV. We're allowed to chat and say what we feel. At least we're not talking about politics and Donald Trump, all right? So.
And on that note, well, we should probably just go
let's wrap
well,
it up.
I was going to say, to make it more eloquent, I was going to see if anybody had any other predictions at large.
No, I don't.
No, I think I said it before that I just, I see Harvey and Mike on either side of the courtroom, the legal clinic versus Pierce Inspector Lit, but hey, you never know. But I loved your prediction. I think we should end with that. It was very sweet.
I got a couple more. Darby, yes or no?
Hurry it up, because I'm on the edge
not
of my
till
seat.
The end of the series.
That's endgame.
No,
that's endgame.
That's ridiculous. Why do we have to wait the end of the series?
Although, let's be fair, Mike getting locked up because he was a fake lawyer was also endgame. And they decided
exactly.
to do it.
They decided to do it because that's smart. That's smart writing of how. What do you do if you do? How do you write if you write yourself in a corner?
So, I mean, I think that Darby is endgame and. I just don't see it happening, like, their relationship starting until maybe, like, towards the end of the series. Mm. Because if they started it now, Donna would have to go against all of her words. And then people talk about wanting the team back together. She's told Harvey, if we do this, I'm not working for you anymore. So then we lose Donna in the building, so we can't do that until...
I don't understand how she says that when she's, like, already... Leave. She just works for him in all aspects anyway. Mm. Like, I feel like she could never not... be the way that she is with him. Like, even if she wasn't his secretary, she'd still act like it.
I mean, she would definitely still have control of his life.
Well, no, they would have to walk. They would have to walk off into the sunset and like sell peaches, sell strawberries
so in
the side of the road.
Who's
going to
be my sexual distraction in this end of the season? These next who?
Because well,
right
I mean,
now
Lewis
my
is engaged.
Is
and...
Lewis has a calendar that we should all be.
Okay.
Lewis has a 12 picture count. You guys have not seen this. I'm gonna end the show right now, so we can all go and look at the Lewis calendar. Thank you all for joining us here at AfterBuzz TV. Tiana, if the people want to find you,
you can find me all over the internet at the Tiana Hobson,
and you can find me all over social media at Nicole Brazier.
And you guys can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. Thank you for joining us here, and we'll see you next week.
Adios.
You oh,
from executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.